I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Silver, and I look forward to hearing about the Rife Machine and holistic health. Now first, why and when did you become interested in natural healing and the Rife therapy?
Well, I think I've always been interested in health my whole life. When I was a child, actually, I really had a sense that I was allergic to dairy. And when I stayed away from drinking milk, and we're talking about adulterated dairy, homogenized, pasteurized, processed milk, I would not feel well. But with a Rife, in the 1980s, and I realize this might date me a little bit, but in the 1980s, I had a severe candida infection, and I heard about this guy who lived about 20 blocks from me. At that time, I was living in New York City. He had a Rife machine, and he charged me $100 for 6 sessions, and I went over there, and he let me use the equipment. It was very crude equipment at that time, and not all the frequencies were spot on to target the microbes, and I'll explain what that means in a little bit. But I had enough good results to know that there was really something to it, and I work usually, my gut tells me something, I experience it, and then my analytical mind kicks in, and I go and I learn the science and get satisfied as to why whatever I used worked. So that was a really important time for me, and I kept hearing in the ensuing years about Rife frequencies and Rife this and Rife that, and I met somebody who worked at a clinic in Mexico where they used Rife machines. And one thing led to another, and I kept bumping into people who used the equipment, but they weren't able to tell me really much about it, how it worked. And this technology was very much underground at the time. People were, there were two things going on. One, they couldn't really talk about it because they didn't want to get in trouble with any kind of alphabet agencies. And two, they really didn't understand too well how it worked. So I kept all this information in file folders. Maybe there was a flyer from this clinic and a little snippet of a magazine article from someplace else. And finally, I met somebody who wanted me to test out a homemade Rife machine. I did. I really liked it. And then I met legitimate manufacturers or more above ground manufacturers. The problem was there wasn't really any information other than from the manufacturer as to how to use the equipment or what frequencies to use or why it worked. And I was really annoyed that this information wasn't available. And then I thought, well, you can't just use the technology without addressing how you eat, because, for example, if you eat a lot of sugar, the microbes thrive on sugar, so you can use the Rife equipment 18 hours a day, but if you don't address the conditions that allowed you to get sick in the first place, you're not going to heal. Well, ultimately, I realized that the person who was supposed to write that book was me. So it started as a 20-page pamphlet of frequencies to use, and then it grew into 5 editions of the Rife Handbook, the last one which was published in 2018. And released in 2019. So that's the very short answer of how I got involved. And the fuller story is in the introduction to my book.
And you've hinted at it then as far as what established medicine thinks of the Rife machine. So do you want to speak briefly about that?
Certainly. Royal Rife invented his equipment, which targeted microbes and destabilized their replication function or their enzymatic activity or their ability to function on various levels. He developed this technology in the 30s, and originally he used it for cancer, but he also had frequencies for cataract and other microbes such as anthrax and E. coli infections. And his colleague were using it very effectively, and he, in fact, was joined by some of the most prestigious medical doctors of the time who had impeccable credentials. And not surprisingly, the technology worked so well that Big Pharma was getting really worried.
Mm-hmm.
So the FDA came down really hard on Rife and his colleagues. His colleagues were threatened to have their medical licenses revoked, and most of them surrendered the equipment, although a couple of doctors did not. They said, get out of my office, and nobody touched them after that, which mm-hmm. is a kind of good lesson in how to stand in your power and not allow yourself to be intimidated. But there were such concerted, deliberate efforts on the part of the medical establishment to suppress the technology that colleagues of Rife, who had their picture taken with him at a dinner to honor him, they later denied that they had even known Rife.
Oh.
And this was a publicly distributed picture.
Mm-hmm.
So the efforts to suppress this technology worked really, really well. And it went underground. It was resurrected in the 1950s and 60s, but it really came into its own, or started to come into its own, in the 1980s and the 90s. And finally, there must be dozens and dozens of manufacturers all over the world. I won't say hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're there yet. But besides Rife equipment, there are many different types of electromedical devices that use electrical current, electromagnetic field, magnetism, not to mention coherent and incoherent light, which is lasers and LEDs respectively, as well as heat and AC and DC current.
Mm-hmm.
So electromedicine covers a really huge range of all of these frequencies on the electromagnetic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And just depending on where on the spectrum these frequencies lie, it might be experienced by us as heat. We might see it as light or infrared or ultraviolet or electrical current. So that's what electromedicine is.
Mm-hmm. Great, good.
Now, Rife used, electromagnetic field. He would take these frequency generators, which were then, and they are now, their standard laboratory equipment, and he would plug it into various, pieces of other equipment that he made up. He took a tube, a glass tube that was filled with noble gases. He used mostly argon, krypton, neon, helium. He experimented all of what we call noble gases.
Mm-hmm.
And when these gases inside the tube are lit up, they produce an electromagnetic field. Now, these gases turn into plasma. Plasma is recognized by scientists as literally the fourth state of matter.
Mm-hmm.
We have solid, liquid, gas, and plasma.
Mm.
So if you were, say, inputting into the tube 2127 hertz or cycles per second, the plasma tube would literally turn on and off 2127 times per second.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the frequencies are created. Rife had invented a microscope that allowed him to see tiny microorganisms, including viruses, in their living state. And what made his microscope so remarkable was that you didn't have to kill the specimen, bombard it with electrons, as you do in an electron microscope, or stain them in order to see them. So if you can see microbes in their living state, you can also see how they react to various substances from the environment that you input to them. So Rife would look at these little tiny pathogens under his microscope. He'd take out his Rife ray, as it was called, or what we call a Rife machine, and he would aim 1 hertz at it, 2 hertz, 3 hertz, 4 hertz, etc. And he would see how these pathogens responded. And ultimately, he would get to what he called the pathogen's mortal oscillatory rate, where the microbe would start to vibrate, maybe shatter, or suddenly go limp. It would change. And have you ever, I don't know if all of our listeners might remember this, but have you ever heard the Memorex commercial with Ella Fitzgerald, who's a very popular soprano, and she would sing that really high note, and then she would shatter the glass? It's an analogy that is only an analogy regarding how the Rife machine worked, but that soprano, when she sang the pure note that shattered the glass, she achieved the oscillatory rate of the glass, and that's how Rife's frequencies worked. There would be something that would couple with the energy of the entire microbe, or most likely a certain piece of the microbe or one of its structures, and it would disable the microbe, and then the human or the animal host, their immune cells would target the pathogen and then remove it from the body. That's basically how Rife's technology worked. So the human would sit in front of the machine. The doctor would turn on the switch. He would set the equipment to mortal oscillatory rate of the microbe. And then after a certain amount of time, the person's body would undergo some changes due to the volume of the pathogens that were killed. And Rife and his colleagues would give people sessions every day or every third day or whatever the schedule was for their particular condition until the person was no longer ill. So that's basically how Rife technology works. In the modern machines, you can, we now have electrical current that is administered via handheld electrodes or foot pads, and it pretty much operates the same way. The delivery system is different. The principle is similar.
Great, good. Then would you summarize the conditions that it has been used for successfully?
Rife therapy has been used for cancer, respiratory tract infections, digestive illnesses, including irritable bowel, candida. That's a really popular one. I think a better question would be, what is it not used for? I'm going to go to the index of chapter 5 and just read some of the conditions that it's used for. Cancer is a big one, obviously, but any bacteria, virus, or fungus that you could possibly think of. So rifing, people have rifed for, and you notice I'm using it as a verb, arthritis, blood sugar problems, bone and skeletal disorders, glandular symptoms. There are frequencies for the adrenals, pancreas, pineal, thyroid, etc. Dental infections, chemical sensitivity and poisoning, liver and gallbladder conditions, sexually related diseases and conditions, even for menstruation difficulties, parasites, protozoa, and worms, although because these are such huge pathogens, you know, related, you know, in comparison to viruses, I would not only rely on ricin to eliminate that. I would use other things too. And then you have tuberculosis, tumors, ulcers, urinary tract, heart, blood, and circulatory disorders, insect bites. And I wanted to mention the brain and nervous system, mind and emotions category, which is in my book. A lot of people don't realize that so-called mental illness or emotional issues, while I certainly do not deny that they exist, there are an incredible number of pathogens that can cause these disorders, because don't forget, these microbes are metabolizing in your body, and they're basically using your system as their toilet. They spew their wastes, and they get into the bloodstream, and in most cases, these wastes pass directly through the blood-brain barrier. And it's astounding, at least I was pretty astounding when I did the research, to realize how many disorders, including schizophrenia or attention deficit disorder, how many of these mental problems are, if not caused, they're at least exacerbated by all these poisons and toxins from pathogens that get into the brain. So it's mind-boggling, actually, what you can do with rice therapy once you know what you need to address.
Would you say offhand that it works with electrical imbalances? Because it sounds like that it's also working with chemical imbalances and some other imbalances in the body, because the toxins would be a chemical, right?
The toxins are a chemical balance, a chemical imbalance. Now, rice therapy does not per se remove the chemical imbalance, right? Because you have this toxic waste in your body and you need to get it out. What rice therapy does is it enables or kills the pathogens that are responsible for spewing the waste in your system. And that's really important, because say you have somebody who's really overloaded, well, yes, you need to detoxify. You need in many cases, the sauna is really helpful because you sweat out these toxins, and you need to eliminate the diet. You know, you are what you eat, and your pathogens eat what you eat, and then they get bigger. So you obviously need to get a good diet, but there needs to be some way to eliminate all this waste. But another thing that rice therapy does is there are some frequencies that do not target microbes per se, but they help support the various structures of the body, the glands, and in one case, there's one frequency that simply helps normalize the normal cells. And I teach this to everybody. I set my machine on 40,000 hertz. If I'm giving a demonstration, say, in a workshop, well, I don't want to target pathogens in the workshop, but 40,000 hertz is pretty much a magic frequency, if you will. And some people use 10,000 hertz, which is good, but 40,000 hertz is even better. It helps normalize the cell membrane of the host tissues so that nutrients can enter more easily and wastes can leave more easily. And when you have a stronger cell membrane that works properly, you're going to strengthen the entire organism. I have done health shows 12 hours a day and dealt with thousands of people who have walked by and been on my feet for almost that long. And I've done really well because I've had this equipment running that full time at 40,000 hertz, and it really helps me stay energized. I'll tell you a story. I had a doctor couple consult with me one. They had a practice together, but she developed Lyme disease and she was really sick. She hadn't slept well in 2 years, and they were really lovely, lovely people. And I said, I'll tell you what, normally I don't do this, because they really didn't know what equipment to get or if it would quote unquote work. So I lent them a rice machine for a couple of days. And I said, do not use any other frequency except for 40,000 hertz. And the reason for that is if you use it for a limited amount of time and try and target a pathogen, but you don't complete the program, which sometimes needs to go on for a week or even months, you can end up actually stimulating those pathogens.
That makes sense.
So I said, don't do that. You're only going to have this machine for tonight, but use 40,000 hertz and let me know how you feel. So he brought back the equipment 2 days later. He said, we kept the machine on all night, and my wife had her first two good nights sleep in 2 years.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So this can be very powerful. Even if you don't physically target a pathogen, you can use 40,000 hertz. Now everybody who's listening is going to go and set their machine to 40,000 hertz, which is probably a good thing.
Let me ask you then about some specific disease processes, because I had some people ask about specific ones, and you haven't mentioned them, but so I'm sure that they were in some of the categories, but I'll ask anyhow so that they get the benefit of an answer. Crohn's disease.
Crohn's disease is in the digestive system section. And all of these, well, okay, let me backtrack a little bit. Doctors name diseases sometimes after the pathogen that causes the disease, but more often after the doctor who diagnoses the symptom. So you can have anything itis, and all itis means is inflammation. So it's really not a why we have this disease explanation. It's more just a description of the symptoms. And what I try very hard to do in my book is to teach people to think in terms of functional medicine. So how does the body function? So say, take any disease of the colon, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel, colitis. It's all an inflammation of the colon. It may refer to different portions of the colon. But this inflammatory response is due to either a reaction to a food and or toxin and or a specific pathogen. So if you're using the rice equipment, it could be really useful to get a diagnosis of what pathogens are in your body so you know which microorganism to target. Now, if you don't know specifically what pathogen you have, you can look up the body part, and in my book it gives a list of the most likely candidates of what you need to target. So thinking functionally is really important, because say, for instance, getting back to Crohn's, say you have this irritation in your colon, cramp, diarrhea, maybe nausea and vomiting. So you ask yourself, what possible pathogens could cause this? What chemical toxins am I exposed to? Have I been around glue, if you're a woodworker? Am I around fabric softener, if you work in a laundry or a dry cleaning? And dry cleaning has its own set of toxic chemicals, unless you work in a quote-unquote dry cleaners. What's my diet like? Am I eating chips, which are made with oils that are heated too high, so it creates acrylamides, which are cancer-causing, and often the chip are not organic. They're made with genetically engineered ingredients and all kinds of chemicals. So you need to ask all of these questions mm-hmm. of yourself. And that's partly why my book is so big, why I have sections on complementary therapies, which includes diet, which has an appendix in the back of common chemicals and everyday items, from furniture polish to laundry detergent to insecticide and shampoos and safe substitutes, because we live in such a toxic environment, and it's really important to eliminate as many stressors as possible mm-hmm. so we can be healthy.
Let me ask you then about a couple others. Now, you did mention liver, but
right.
two people ask, one about liver hemangioma and another about liver cardiogenic syncope.
Oh, would you repeat that, please? That last thing, liver what?
Liver cardiogenic syncope.
I have not heard that term in particular, but again, you need to think functionally. If I were not on the phone with you right now, mm-hmm. I would go and look up the term on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about a degeneration of the liver? Are we talking about a disease that caused by a pathogen?
Mm-hmm.
If so, what type of pathogen?
Mm-hmm.
If it's degeneration with an unknown cause, then we need to look at what's causing the degeneration. In my book, I have a liver gallbladder cleanse that I've refined over the years to give the best possible result for the most possible numbers of people.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people over the years saying, what do I do with this specific condition or that specific mm-hmm. condition? And you need to troubleshoot, is it degenerative primarily? Is it pathogen related? Is it toxin related?
Mm-hmm.
Or a combination of any or all of the above?
Mm-hmm.
And once you answer those questions, you know what to do. So it almost doesn't matter what term the medical profession gives mm-hmm. to the disease. This approach is what is known as functional mm-hmm. medicine,
mm-hmm.
rather than looking at everything piecemeal and separate from everything else.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last one then was ropeworms.
Ropeworm is really interesting. There is a lot of evidence to suggest that this is partly genetically engineered, and there are, in fact, frequencies for ropeworm in my book, which mm-hmm. I was very fortunate to get. However, as I mentioned before, I think with parasites,
mm-hmm.
when you have anything parasitic in nature, which means it's a lot bigger than a virus or even a bacterium or even a fungal form, there has to be a lot more approaches. Generally, for worms, I use rifing in conjunction with herb and colonic sometimes, and there's a section in Chapter 3 on colonic, how and why and so forth. Another genetically engineered disease is Morgellons, and I am very grateful that I myself have never experienced it personally, because it is really horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But Morgellons, fortunately, is treatable, and there are a number of therapies in my book in Chapter 5 that talk about how to work with that.
Great. Then, Nina, are there precautions that people should be aware of before using the Rife machine?
Yes, and that's outlined in Chapter 4. There are different precautions, say, for people with heart conditions and pacemakers, depending on if you're using a radiant plasma unit or a unit with electrodes that mm-hmm. Operates via electrical current. there are precautions for frail and elderly and children, and that all outlined in my book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pages, and it's just easier if you read it, because otherwise we'd spend 15 minutes talking about the precautions.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there are precautions, and it's outlined very specifically and very clearly in my book, as well as talking about what machines are contraindicated for what conditions, and even what under what circumstances you need to be careful, but if you're careful, you can use the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So for most people can use one form or another piece of equipment that dispenses frequencies.
Great.
So I think most people can use it.
Then you mentioned in the book that it may cause heart arrhythmia in some people. I have heart arrhythmia AFib. So should I avoid using the Rife machine?
Well, I would like to point out that I'm not a medical doctor.
Right.
I don't diagnose, treat, or prescribe.
Mm-hmm.
So with that disclaimer, the heart arrhythmia can occur in some people, because when you're Rifing, your body is using a lot of its vitamins and especially minerals to deal with the toxic waste.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain minerals you need to replenish your system so that you can deal with any of the die-off effects.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, it makes me wonder, and I'm just hypothesizing here, if some cases of heart arrhythmia could be corrected by the intake of electrolytes. See, a lot of conditions which doctors call disease conditions, when I look at them more closely, they're not disease conditions per se, especially if by the intake of more nutrients, including electrolytes, which are minerals with a charge, you can eradicate that condition. So this makes me think about how many so-called diseases that people have are simply because they may have higher than normal requirements for certain nutrients. And considering how depleted our soils are, and how nutrient-starved most people are, it doesn't surprise me that there is a rise not only of infectious diseases, but degenerative diseases as well. So there's a section in Chapter 4 on what minerals to take, and I mean, even if you wanted to load up on chlorophyll and water, and especially lemon juice and water, before, during, and after your Rife session, it really helps take the load off your body. And in Chapter 3, I have a whole section on water and minerals and why it's so key.
So it would be all right for someone with AFib to use the Rife, as long as they, in your
being
opinion,
conservative and, you know, on the radio and dispensing advice to people, I would always caution, check with your doctor and make sure, and make sure that your doctor is holistically oriented, because if you get an allopathic doctor, meaning establishment trained, Rifing doesn't work, I'll stick to what I know, everything's a disease that you can cure with the pill, that person is not going to be able to advise you correctly. So if anybody wants to use the Rife technology and they have any questions at all, I always say, go see a holistic doctor, even a chiropractor who has an expertise in nutrition, a naturopath, an osteopath, anybody of that stripe who knows anything about electromedicine or detox, who can advise you.
I agree with your comment. AFib could be a imbalance of minerals, because everyone that I've talked with that tried to treat it somewhat naturally have talked about the need for massive amounts of magnesium as one mineral. And I take usually around 1,000 milligram a day. I think it's 1,000. And it's because it soothes the heart muscle, but also I suspect that it has to do with anxiety. But another thing that I do is I have a kit of the 9 essential minerals that are potassium, calcium, magnesium, etc. And it's a taste test, and you can taste these solutions in a bottle, and it tells you how to mix it up and all that. And then if it's sweet or neutral, you need it. If it's bitter, you don't need it. And so then you put the number of drops that are identified in a glass of water, and you drink that, and it handles the minerals that you need. And the theoretical base behind it is that if you don't have adequate minerals, the heavy metals will move into your body and take over where the minerals were. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I believed it, and it works for me because I have very little problem with my AFib now, that I, you know, keep track of the minerals, and that I exercise and watch my diet and do all, and I take Q10 and I take taurine and I take a variety, I take natural blood thinners, I take a variety of things and do a variety of other lifestyle things that I don't, you know, initially when I first had it, I called the emergency a couple times and they took me by ambulance in because I was having flutters and all, but I don't seem to have any of that anymore. I don't focus much on it. I rarely think about it. And so I think that the minerals is an important aspect of that.
I'm really glad you brought up that in great detail. Minerals and magnesium, which you mentioned specifically, are so important. In fact, when people have heart attack, they're often given in the hospital IV magnesium drip, and then they charge people a bundle for it. And you could eliminate that problem so easily by just taking extra magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of really interesting studies done several decades ago by certain government groups that are no longer in existence, but scientists were trying to discover what type of water is the best for people. And this is in the discussion in Chapter 3 on water and minerals. But the punchline is that they discovered that water containing magnesium, and you're not talking about a whole lot. You're talking about part per billion of magnesium dissolved in water, but when you have these minerals that are so heavily dissolved, they are electrolytes, they have a charge, and they get into the cells, and they do amazing things for the body. They discovered that people who lived in areas where there was ample magnesium dissolved in the water, compared with people who don't live in areas where they drink enough magnesium in their water, we're in so much better health. So some of the minerals that we do get are the most bioavailable when they're in water. Another interesting thing I found out about magnesium is that depending on what magnesium is bound to, whether it's magnesium citrate or orotate or aspartate, these different types of magnesium have an affinity for different parts of the body. So often, taking a magnesium complex with a lot of different types of magnesium, meaning bound to different carriers, can be more beneficial than just taking one type. And I like what you say about the magnesium resveratrols, that if you, depending on how it tastes, it's a good test of whether you need it. I knew that about zinc. I didn't know that there was a whole mineral complex that did that too.
I think it's called BioBody.
BioBody?
And it's by Ed Kane, I believe, K-A-N-E. You can Google it and you'll find it. And there are 9. It has zinc in it. It has selenium. It has a couple I hadn't heard of before. And it has them all. And you just do the taste test. And then you take whatever it is you need. And sometimes I used to have cramp in my legs, and I don't have that anymore since I've been using this. I think it's quite effective, especially with a heart condition. You'll find it on a Google search.
Very interesting. As long as you mention Google, I want to just say something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge war going on and has been increased or escalated more than ever on natural health. And I would strongly suggest that people not use Google, because now Google, I think it's been now revealed in court that Google has deliberately altered its algorithm so that when people do an online search for various things related to natural health, if you're using Google, you will not bring up the high-ranking, wonderful natural health websites.
Oh, really?
You're going to get WebMD, which is, I think, if not owned by Google, is affiliated with them. You're going to get all the allopathic and drug sites. I added a whole section to Chapter 6 on how information on natural health is being suppressed and what you can do about it. I changed my browser. When I'm doing a search on natural health, I no longer use, well, sometimes I use Firefox. Most of the time use Epic, E-P-I-C, because it's completely private. Firefox has also been compromised to the big pharma agenda. So the browser is Epic, and the search engine, which is different from browser, okay, is I use DuckDuckGo. You can also use, GoFetch? There are a couple of other private browsers, but Google is terrible for stuff like that. And they're deliberately hiding all this stuff. And in fact, Amazon, which I have very mixed feelings about, and I talk about that in Chapter 6 as well. Amazon has systematically been eliminating books about vaccines. So if people want to know, well, I can't find something on Google, so it must not be very important or true, don't believe it. Because this is there's a real war going on, and I hate to put things in such adversarial terms, but there really is a war. And so that's why I think it's so important to use the correct search engine if you want to find something.
That's good to know. And you know, it even affects the publishing world, because when I was looking for a publisher for my lung cancer book, I decided to publish it in England because I thought they would be a little more accepting than the United States. But they had an office in the United States, and they got evaluations from the people in Canada and the United States. And the reviewer in the United States said they should not publish it because I had a chapter on Protocell, which was one of the cancer treatments. It wasn't, you know, one of the more well-known, but it was a cancer treatment that I thought the information should be out there, because it was an at-home treatment. And I try to look for things that people that don't have a lot of money can use without having to put the house up for mortgage or whatever. It was the United States that tried to block the book because of this chapter on Protocell, but they went ahead because the majority of people from England and Europe that did reviews, they were all very positive. So they went ahead, and the book did well. So I guess, you know, they didn't suffer at all, but it was the United States that was trying to block it. Then,
yeah, unfortunately, the U.S., there seems to be the biggest and most intensive attempts to suppress information. That's one of the problems that people often have with Rife therapy. They want to know, well, if it's so effective, why haven't I heard about it? Why hasn't my doctor heard about it? Why hasn't my doctor recommended it? Why aren't there more articles and peer-reviewed journals on it? And I take some space in my book to address those concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I have an appendix devoted solely to listing articles and books on electromedicine,
mm-hmm.
some of which date as far back to the 1850s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of scientific types who, and lay people too, which is good, you know, don't just take my word for it, but these are all good questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why
mm-hmm.
haven't I heard of this? And I go through the step-by-step explanation of how all this information has been systematically and deliberately suppressed. And I think that it'll be even more important in the next several years to have this information, because it's disappearing.
Yeah,
and it's really unfortunate.
And it's relatively
complex. In my research, I discovered some wonderful books from the 1800s and the early 1900s on electromedicine, and they were using all this stuff in hospitals. It wasn't a big deal, and it became a big deal with the advent of antibiotics. No surprise.
Right. Now, Nina.
Go ahead.
I wanted to move on a bit and ask about receiving Rife sessions and who qualified to give these, if someone wanted to go and have sessions done.
Right. Well, there's a good news and bad news. I'll give you the bad news first.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is that because Rife therapy has not been approved in the U.S. for medical purposes, in most places, you cannot go to receive Rife sessions because it is not an approved medical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most areas, I'll get to the exceptions in a minute. The good news is that anybody can buy a Rife machine and administer sessions to themselves, their friends, families, and pets, zoo animals, farm animals, livestock. And this is really a good direction, because I'm like you, Carl. I really want to see people do it themselves and take their own health procedures into their own hands. And it's good to have a health professional when you need them. But in most cases, or many cases, we can do it ourselves. I like to see that people can become self-sufficient and not have to rely on authorities whom they've been brainwashed to think no more than they do about their own body. There are a number of really reputable companies that sell good equipment, and you can find who they are in Resource Appendix A of my book. And Chapter 4 of my book tells people about the types of machines, what they want to look for in a manufacturer, and what type of machine might be best for your particular condition and what you want to use it for. For instance, if you want to give sessions to your child or animal, you're obviously not going to use a device that operates with electrodes, you know. But there are other things, too. Now, Arizona, where I live, is a really interesting state because it has one of the most liberal licensing boards in the country. There are a lot of medical doctors, people with MD degrees here, where they can take a course on homeopathy, and then they have the initials after their name, not only MD, but MDH, which is Medical Doctor of Homeopathy. And the Homeopathic Licensing Board, which, by its very nature, understands the application of subtle energies. After all, homeopathic remedies work on subtle levels. They have included frequency devices and other types of electromedical machines as valid to use in practice. So if you come here, say if you have cancer, you need supervision, and you don't want to go to Mexico, there are a number of places in Arizona and in the area where I live, for instance, which is the Phoenix area,
mm-hmm.
where you have clinics that not only do chelation and detox for people with cancer, but they use Rife therapy as a matter of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on your area. Now, Germany, for example, you can go to a doctor, get diagnosed with a pathogen, and you can leave with a little tiny portable
mm-hmm.
Rife machine that may be a little bit bigger than a remote control. You put it in a fanny pack or a sack, you wear it around your waist, you use electrode patches, and you wear it for a week or two,
mm-hmm.
go back to the doctor, and then get a diagnosis of you're cured, you no longer have this pathogen,
mm-hmm.
or if you need something else, you get a program for that something else.
Mm-hmm.
So in Germany, this is pretty much accepted. I like to tell people mm-hmm. this story because people who say, well, I haven't heard about it, well, mm-hmm. I say, do you think the only country in the world is the U.S.?
Yeah, I have a doctor on my board that is from Germany and has a clinic, and he uses a lot of the treatments. And the other thing I was going to add is that Nevada also has the program where physicians can go back and take 100 hours of homeopathic content, take their boards, and have a broader scope of practice. So that they tend to be more clusters of cancer centers where they use a lot of the, you know, I know that some of them use Laetril, which is what I used when I had cancer, and they use the O2 therapy, and they use all kinds of alternative things. And the other one I was going to mention is I interviewed Dr. Kevin Connors at Connors Clinic, and I believe he's Minnesota, and every patient is put on the Rife machine and sent home with it. So he is a big advocate of a Rife and uses it with every cancer patient.
That's wonderful to know.
It is beginning to, you know, have some movement. He was the first I had heard of that used it with every patient.
There are other conditions under which health practitioners can use this equipment, and I talk about that in Chapter 4. There's a section directly related to practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the area, if the practitioner is using the Rife technology for, it's kind of complicated, but they can take existing laws. Okay, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep all of this in my head because there's so much information
mm-hmm.
in this book. It's over 1,100 pages. Some practitioners prefer to benefit from category that allows a practitioner to utilize laboratory equipment and modify it for their practice as long as the use is responsible and is not being offered for medical purposes. This is a really complicated thing having to do with FDA rules and regulations, but you can use, it boils down to you can legally use a frequency generator in your practice, if you modify it and you don't say that you're using it for medical purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really convoluted and it's hard to keep it straight, but there are ways for practitioners who aren't in Nevada or Arizona
mm-hmm.
to use these.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a shame. People have to jump through all kinds of hoops. And anyway, if you have cancer or some issue, health condition that you need to use a Rife machine for a long period of time, it's much more efficient and cost-effective for you to get your own equipment.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I know somebody who had cancer, and she went to see a practitioner a few times a week to get treated, And she was paying an inordinate sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, do you realize that, think about all the doctor visits that you were paying for. You could just get your own machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, and this is especially true for people with cancer, you have to use the equipment every day over a period of weeks or even months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I get really upset when I hear stories about practitioners who have people come in, if they have cancer, a few times a week.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that because, especially for something like cancer, you need to use the equipment every day and attack the pathogens and not give them a chance to mutate.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the questions that I had, Nina, and that was, how often can you use the Rife machine, and is daily too often? But you said that you should use it daily for cancer, right?
Depends on what you're using it for.
Mm-hmm.
You have one end of the spectrum where you're using it for cancer every day without fail. And then another end of the spectrum, and for cancer, people typically use it for an hour, hour and a half, to even 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what frequencies you're using, or it depends on several different variables.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were using it for cancer, I would use it for a minimum of an hour and a half a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you have people with Lyme disease who are, many of them are so sick, they can only tolerate a session every 3 days for 15 seconds at a time.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not mishearing me, and that's not a typo. 15 seconds, because the Lyme is so damaging and people's immune systems are so shot that they can only tolerate 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a lot of compassion for people who are that sick and who can only tolerate that amount. But less in some instances is more.
And over
time... So it really... excuse me?
Over time, can they build up from that 15 seconds?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, over time.
Mm-hmm.
Over time. So it depends on a lot of things. And Chapter 4 spells out the different variables of how long to have a session for, how many frequencies per session. It largely depends on your responses to the die-off of the pathogens, how strong or healthy your immune cells are, your general state of debilitation, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on how you are, your condition, and what you're using the sessions for. Thank you.